And so I was actually born in 1964 in Flushing, Queens, New York, birthed Angelique Michelle Gauthier. You know, my mom was 19. She was a nursing student. She met my father, who was 30, and he was an x-ray tech. He was very good. I found some pictures of him recently, buried in the bottom of, you know, the attic garbage can of life, so to speak. Very kind of, I don't know, James Deanish sort of short, because Canuck, you know, French Canadian Cherokee, slick back hair and the sideburns and, you know, heavy lidded, with the t-shirt and the sleeves rolled up. But he was 30 and he was an x-ray tech. And I don't know, maybe she was working late at school or he was working late. Anyway, it was one of those things. I've heard so many different stories about shotgun wedding or, you know, hunting down, you know, packs of dogs. There's three different stories about, you know, how I came about. My brother followed 4 years later. I was raised in the city till I was, I think, about four. Again, there's a lot of different stories. Ultimately, we came upstate where my great-grandparents, who emigrated from Germany, had a weekend summer home where my mom still lives now. We lived in a trailer on a piece of property that my great-grandparents' summer home was. So all my childhood memories are on this lake. My great-grandmother was Uma, I had Uppa, and my tantas and my uncles. I spoke a little German, but could understand a lot of it. There were Sunday dinners where, you know, sauerbraten and rouladen and kale and red cabbage, and they played pinochle afterwards, and, you know, dumplings and very heavy German food, you know. Happy times, a lot of happy times when I was little. My great-grandfather, Uppa, he died. He had lung cancer. My grandma Lydia, their daughter, came and stayed to take care of Uma, my great-grandmother. Yeah, it was just a really happy childhood. I was doted upon. I remember when my brother was born, he didn't come home until he was, I want to say, two or three, something like that. He was born really, really sick. I remember one day, the father person took us for a walk. I was pissed my brother was coming because I didn't spend a lot of time with this father person. And he came to say that he was leaving, which wasn't really big news because I didn't see a lot of him anyway. And so, poof, he was gone. And my mom went to college and worked a lot. And had more boyfriends than she thinks we know about. And you know what's so funny? I was thinking about this the other night. My mom, you know, she was 19 when she had me. And my mom was kick-ass beautiful. I mean, gorgeous. I have pictures of her. She didn't give them to me until maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And they're black and white, and they're nudes. They're shot here at Bashbish, which is a state park. And it's so funny because when I was 16, I took photos. They weren't black and whites, but they were like my first kind of modeling pictures. And they were a Bashbish. They were in t-shirt and jeans, and they were in the water. And she was so pissed at me that I did them. And then here we go, years later, she gives me, and hers were nudes, you know. But she gave them to me, and they were framed, and they were, and she was so beautiful. But I remember being so little and just being so in awe that all these men, wherever we went, my mom was just surrounded by men. You know, she's a flirt, my mom, you know? And so I remember being really little and watching my mom just work a room. And, you know, so now I can look at it and go, I wonder if that's where I learned the power of what it meant to be pretty and flirtatious and powerful. Like, if that's, you know, like, you know, you learn as a girl from your mother, right? But I'll bet you she would never in a million years admit that that's what that was. I'm sure of it. Like I said, I think if I scratch my mother's skin, there'd be like computer parts underneath my mother's. I'm not sure if there's a person under there still. I moved out when I was 16 and I never went back because I think I was tired of the fighting. There was so much fighting and yelling and screaming, and it was always, you know, because of me. But, you know, what I found interesting was after I left, there was still screaming and fighting going on in the house, even though I wasn't there anymore. But I felt bad because, you know, I remember when I did, you know, run away, my little brother standing at the top of the hill, and he said, "Well, wait, what about me?" And I said, "You're going to be fine. You're the golden child. You know, you're going to be fine. You're perfect." Well, the big plan was to get on a train. We were going to sell my girlfriend's 68 Camaro and get one-way tickets to go to Florida. And, you know, do whatever. Whatever, you know, we had big plans. Waitress or whatever. She had big tits. She was golden. I had a huge, you know, crush. I was so in love with her. Of course, she did not know this, you know. But when we pulled up to give the mechanic the car, which was actually right around the corner from where we are right now, what I didn't know was my mother, who, of course, was friends with the sheriff of the town. There was an APB out for my girlfriend and I. We pulled up, and, of course, immediately, like, six cop cars pulled in behind us. Yeah. And so she was sent to the suburbs of New Jersey. My mother thought she would send me to live with my uncle, who was a transit cop in New York City. My first night in New York City was Halloween night. And it was Jamaica, Queens. And this is really classic. You are just going to get shits and giggles out of this one. So my mother thinks sending me to New York City is the answer to my behavioral problems. And so it's Halloween night. Yeah. So they're listening to, you know, Rock Lobster and the Ramones. See, this is so menopause. Yeah, the Ramones and stuff. And I get there and I have long hair with braids and feathers and beads, and I'm wearing Ozzy Osbourne t-shirts and ripped jeans and hiking boots. And, you know, I'm, you know, all AC/DC and, you know, Grateful Dead, and I don't know what I'm doing. There's subway cars going over my head, and, you know, I smoke weed, and they hand me a little piece of paper and say, "Take this." And I say, "Okay." I had eaten mushrooms and stuff before. I knew nothing of acid. And we head down to the basement. There are kids dressed up as the Fruit of the Loom kids with, you know, balloons as grapes and bananas, and there's Frankenstein, and kids dressed up as the B-52s, and but I'm starting to trip now. And the lights are low, and there's, you know, black light and strobe lights and a spiked punch and a lot of, you know, weed, so I was glad for that. But it started getting really kind of small and crowded in there, and I couldn't, it was too small, too crowded, I couldn't breathe, and I found myself out in the park. I started talking to these kids who said they had some tickets to a show. Did I want to go to a show? And I said, okay, let's go to a show. And then I was in a car. It was sunrise. I wound up with two other guys that I didn't know. I told kids that I did know that I knew these guys, and I didn't know these guys. But I thought at the time that they looked like angels. They were two blonde guys. They were wearing white jeans and white t-shirt, and they were twins, I think. But I remember at one point I was laying down, and I was looking over my head, and there was like a, it's not cork board, but it's that board that you hang tools on, and one of them was over me, and one of them was sitting next to me, and the tools were rocking back and forth, rocking back and forth. I was just laying very still, but the tools were rocking back and forth, so I knew that the van must be moving. The van was moving. They weren't driving, so the van was moving. You know, don't come knocking if this van is rocking. Then they just dropped me off. I didn't know where I was. And I had to call my uncle and kind of explain. I just had to look around me and tell him where I was, but I didn't know where I was. He said, "Well, look for a sign, look for something." I said, there's a picture with a racehorse on it. I said, well, what does it say? I said, "This is Meadowlands." I was at Meadowlands. I was in Meadowlands, New Jersey. I had gotten in a van with two guys who I thought looked like angels. I left. I was home Thanksgiving. I did the couch tour for a while. That's when, you know, through a series of events cut out of the cloth of my mother, I met my 30-year-old man, and I moved in with him. He is a local. His family was, you know, a big deal locally. He was very fairy tale like to a 16-17 year old. You know, he had, you know, blonde curly hair, he had a Camaro Z28 with the T-top black with the gold, you know, remember that, had the eagle thing, I think, on the front, or just a Z28 in gold, something on the side, I remember. You know, always had a few 40-pound bales of pot, a couple kilos of coke, and he had a gold tooth. You know, he had gotten his front grill had been smashed out when he was young, and they had replaced him with gold teeth and had the enamel put over top, you know, but when he brushed, and then it started coming off on one tooth in a heart shape from brushing, and so it was kind of in a heart shape, and you know, this is before, you know, the gangsters, there was no grills, gold teeth, you know, so he was just so mystifying, and he had a house, a 200-year-old salt box house on the Hudson River. He was just gorgeous and fascinating, and oh, and I loved him with all my heart, and I was a plaything and didn't know. He called me pretty baby and took me places. We went to Florida, you know, he took me to dinner, bought me lobster, you know, I thought this is it, you know, I got to go into bars with him, and I was something special. I had no idea, I was just there for weekends, but I was also supposed to just be there waiting in case he called me. So that if I was out doing something else with somebody else, I was a whore, I was, you know, what are you doing, who are you talking to, and I was smacked around, you know. So it was a very mixed message situation. And I had daddy issues, obviously, you know, so it wasn't a very healthy thing, but I stuck it out until my second concussion. You know, when I was 18, my mom had told me, you either tell him he has to let you move in, because I was doing the, you know, 4 days or 3 days at his house, 4 days, you know, at either my mom's or grandma's, you know, kind of thing. So I wasn't really living anywhere. But he wouldn't let me kind of get a place of my own. I had to stay home at my mom's. I couldn't live anywhere else because then I would obviously be, I couldn't see any of my other friends. I was screwing somebody then. But it was actually, of course, it was he who was screwing somebody else. And today, what I was doing would be called stalking. Because if he said he was going to be picking me up at 1 o'clock and he wasn't there at 1 o'clock, I would fucking hitchhike to his house. I would break into his house, which wasn't hard to do, you know. Sit in the middle of his, naked, in the middle of his bed. I didn't care how long it fucking took. And I would wait for him to come home. And he would come home with another girl, of course. And I'd wait till he came up those little teeny tiny stairs and let him open that door where I'd be sitting naked. Hi, Cubby. But I was a fucking baby. What was a 30-year-old doing? With, you know, God, the whole thing was so sick. Was it fucked up that he, you know, would pick me up and hurl me into a table, and I would, you know, get fucking, I don't know if it was a concussion or what, I know if I turned my head, the whole room would, one time he had to keep me in a room for several days because my face was so bruised, he didn't want anybody to see me. But I also know that, yeah, he did give me a black eye, but I made it blacker. I hit myself even harder because I wanted it to be worse. I wanted it to stay there. I wanted him to, you know, because he was drunk when he did it. So I wanted it to last. I wanted him to see, you know, like it was just sick. After the second time, you know, I got hurt or whatever, I just went, oh, okay, that's just that for whatever reason. And I moved to Albany. I shaved my head into a mohawk. I did another couch tour. I started hanging out with some punk rock bands. Slept in doorways. I kept my clothes in garbage bags, and I knew when garbage day was, so I could move my clothes. I hide them behind garbage bags so they wouldn't get thrown away on trash day. You know, like punk rock before it was cool thing. Wow, yeah, I did that whole thing.